Welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. This week, we've got some NBL signings. We've got some big news from some of our Aussie ballers over in the NBA. And we've also, of course, got to do our NBL round wrap-up. North round wrap-up. But I need someone to do that with, otherwise it's a bit dry, just, you know, me talking at you. So this week he returns once more to the shed. Matt Macca McIntyre, how you doing, bud?
Good, thanks, mate. I'm back like a bad smell. Can't get rid of me.
Well, look, I have to agree, can't get rid of you. And you're going to be with me on Friday night too when the Caps take on Mackay.
So, yeah. Look, first game, can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't
wait. Again, the favors I do for your mother, seriously.
that's right. And you got me an all-star game too against Mackay. That's going to be a red hot game. So,
well, I'm excited about that. Indeed. It should be genuinely two powerhouse games, let's be honest. But before we get too deep into the NBL one, let's circle back and talk a little bit around some signings and different things from the NBL one. The free agency is continuing, and more and more signings, and more waving goodbyes. You know, it's not quite working out. Coming down the system, which is fine. You know, that's part of it. Sometimes, you know, players just aren't a right fit for both sides, and that's okay.
A few teams have been really busy, Melbourne United especially. They've had a lot of signings, and then other teams are just picking up pieces here and there. But there's been a lot of shifts. I mean, I can't remember this early on before the new season that there's been so many people leaving clubs and going to other clubs. You know, Brisbane have lost a few players. Adelaide gave up a few players. You know, Perth lost a few players, and they rarely lose the players they want to keep, but they lost a good one in Luke Travers to Melbourne United. So it's changing landscape at the moment.
Well, yeah, speaking of Perth, they've lost Luke Travers. They've lost they've said goodbye to Todd Blanchfield and Mitch Norton. As you said, Luke Travers has signed a deal with United. Mitch Norton has signed with the Bullets, 2-year deal. So they're picking up a few pieces. Look, and, you know, Mitch Norton's not a bad Kadee-ish style, replacement. So, look, you know.
Mitch Norton was absolute fire when he was at the New Zealand Breakers, but didn't really set the world on fire at Perth, but was a solid backup and good defensive player. So he's a good pickup for the Bullets. They needed someone. They lost Kadee. So it's a hard market to get a good Australian guard. So they'll obviously be on the lookout for an import, but that's a suitable replacement. I'll agree with you on that one.
And look, elite defender. So,
yep.
You know, can play at both ends, which is definitely something that Bullets, yeah, they've just got to work on. We've got to do something more at the defensive end this season moving forward. As you say, Luke Travers, he signed on. Dean Vickerman also signed a 4-year coaching extension for United. Just dropped today, actually, as we record. So
yeah, and coaches don't normally get those type of deals, so good on him.
Indeed. Especially after the last two seasons. I mean, came up a little bit short and then quite a bit short.
Yeah, but I guess the runs were on the board for the previous seasons before that. They've won two or three championships with his tenure. So, yeah, he's probably deserving. And look, as top line coaches, there's not a great deal out there. It's not like you can just drop one and just but Bullets found that out. So if you got someone good, lock him in, and that's what they've done.
Mm, definitely. Speaking of, excuse me, Adelaide, they've let go of Dream, and he's been signed up for, I believe, a one-year deal with the Jack Jumpers. So,
yeah.
You know, interesting piece there. Matt Kenyon, currently playing for Rip City. He signed himself a two-year deal with Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. You know, trying to back up Mitch Creek and some of those others there. Which look, you know, I don't mind that from Matt Kenyon. I think he's going to have an absolute baller season with Rip City this year. So it'll be a good good platform for him to then, you know, jump into that new team with a bit of confidence.
Yeah, I like the look too. The Southeast Melbourne and Phoenix need to change a little bit of their direction as what they've done the last few seasons. So that's a different look for them. So I don't mind that. Change it up a bit.
Yeah, new coach. You know, keep some of the core bits and make some changes in, you know, big areas elsewhere.
Yep.
You know, mini style rebuild. Not a full knockdown, but yeah, big chunks. Big chunks will be changed. All right, so moving on, we do have some more news out of the NBL, though. They've stretched things out, or in the schedule has come out, big chunks of it anyway. Christmas Eve game. We're going to have Adelaide and Brisbane. Interesting touch. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. And Boxing Day game, Cairns and Perth, and two Christmas night hoops. So we'll have a 5:30 Taz versus, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and Kings will take on Illawarra. A freeway battle at Kudos.
Love it now. Love it.
I like it too, mate. I love it.
Yeah, Christmas games, Christmas Eve, like Boxing Day. It's probably a little rough on the players because especially the locals, they want to spend it with their family. But in terms of a great time to get some exposure, and it's just everyone's got a bit of time off, or most people have a bit of time off, unless you're in the essential services. But if you've got the time off, you want something to watch that night, you've got options, and basketball's going to be one of them. So I think that's just a fantastic job, because otherwise you sit around waiting for the NBA Christmas game, which is always on our Boxing Day. But now you've got the options of NBL on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, two games on Christmas Day. That's wicked. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, especially if one, you know, generally turns out to be potentially a little bit of a flop. It's, you know, you've got two bites of the cherry. You know, obviously we want two really tight, close games. Not every game of basketball does that. Not every game of basketball do we get that. So this gives us two bites of the cherry. And yeah, look, and they're night games too, so, you know, gives players the chance to, you know, have their morning, you know, with their fams. I know some players last year, like, flew down the morning of, you know, had their time with their family, woke up with had all the kids and everything like that, and then flew to where the game was. So, you know,
Don't know how I'd do that,
but hey, you know,
it's great for the fan.
Yeah, and I think that way too, you know, being those nighttime games, it allows those basketball families to have that option. They can really do whatever they want to do in that space.
Yep,
Bonza, love it. Giddy, young Mr. Giddy, joined Derek Rose as the only 20-year-old. In NBA history with a 30-point 10-assist playoff game. Absolutely baller in one of the
and a near trip dub too. Yeah. Like, he was one rebound away, I think, from the triple double. Like, it was
31, 10, and 9.
Yeah.
So whereas D Rose had 36, 11, and 4. So yeah. Look, you know. And D Rose, you know, obviously, in his last, this is his last hurrah, last at bat, the New York Knicks, and he's going to step away and spend some time with the fam. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
He's, yeah, Giddy is, he's our best Australian, our most high-level talent we have in the NBA at the moment. I think Patty and Joe Ingles are still savvy veterans, but Giddy is our 20-year-old future, and, man, he was just cooking in that game. Backed it up the next in the after winning through into the next game in the play-in, and unfortunately met a tough defensive assignment with two big centers in the Timberwolves with Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. So he found it a bit tougher going, but I still think it was great experience on that first game. And unlucky OKC to get rolled, but they got some good things coming their way. I think we talked about it. And the last time I was on, they've got some young pieces, lots of picks, Chet Holmgren to come back. And then, you know, they can jag another, probably need a nice defensive veteran, but maybe even trade some of their picks and get a strong veteran presence in that team just to really bring it together. But yeah, they got nearly all the pieces they need.
Indeed. And keeping the Josh Giddey train rolling, mate, is confirmed he will play for the Boomers in the World Cup. That is just absolutely everything we wanted it to be. So, you know, young kid, obviously didn't get the go first time round when we were pushing for Rose Gold at the Olympics. He was right on the cusp. Like, and when he was in the squad, he was on the bench and, you know, just giving it everything. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. You know, it's come out and said it's his dream and different things like that. So, you know, all signs are looking great there on that front.
Yeah, and it's just an absolute positive, because when your best player is the one that signed up first and said, yep, I'm going to be there, it hopefully just encourages the rest of our professional players that are playing overseas and in different leagues across the world that, yeah, let's be a part of it. It's not for the money, because they don't make anything out of it, but it's for the glory and representing a country. So the fact that our best players into it is awesome. So hopefully, you know, everyone else puts their hand up, and man, strong Boomers squad. Yeah, definite medal contention, and they turn that rose gold into a gold.
Yeah, look, you know, it's one of those things you just never know. You just never know. All comes down to draw and different things like that, and, you know, different calls, and there's all sorts of elements. But you got to think, with him on board, with all these other pieces that young ballers coming through behind him as well, your Greens, your Daniels, your different bits, plus the savvy vets we've still got that, you know, have more than enough skill to go around, and, you know, some of our other international players that aren't in the NBA. Geez, you know, Australian national basketball is looking bright still. It's not as if we put everything into that rose gold and now we're into a rebuild. If anything, we've hit that mark, and now we're looking to build on it. And with the talent and prospects we've got coming through, you never know.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. And just to go back to that, we were robbed over many years. I'm still dirty about the, was it 2012? Was it Beijing? Where there's been Olympics, there's been World Cups where we've been robbed out of medals from some rest calls.
2016 in Rio.
In Rio, yeah. Sorry,
Paddy was, yeah.
Against Spain. Paddy got the foul called against him when he was 2 feet from him. And, you know, there's, I think I remember hearing a story about Barcelona as well, something about the, with the same thing with the refs, but yeah, you know, chaps me, but we got a bronze and now we're building on it. So yeah, it's our time to shine.
It is.
Can't steal us.
It still bangs the backboard even years later. Like that's the painful part of it, but it is what it is. We've got our rose gold now and the future looks bright. All right, well, speaking of things that are just going along amazingly, how about the Coles Express MBL1 North? At the moment, it's absolutely pinging along. Year 3, and everything is just on the up and up and up. We're just at our third round. And, oh, look, it's been tough for some, great for others. You know, a bit of a mixed bag results-wise, but not every team can win every game. That's just not the way sport works. So let's break down and let's start with the champagne. Let's start with the women's side of things. Before we get stuck into the men, we'll start with the ladies. All right. First game of the round, Spartans versus Wizards. And unfortunately for the Spartans, it wasn't close.
One-sided affair, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. Literally lost every quarter and went down by 41. So, yeah.
That's a really strong North Wizards team, though. They're the front runners for sure. So, just a hard matchup. They obviously put a bit of hurting on the Spartans there, though.
Yeah, well, from points wise, you had Nadine Payne leading the points. You had AJ Johnson with 13 rebounds, and Courtney Woods with 8 assists for the Wizards. But on the Spartan side, we had Maddie Allen leading the points, Maddie Allen leading the rebounds, and Maddie Allen leading with the assists with 15, 8, and 6, respectively. So, yeah, Wizards able to share it round, and Spartans just not able to, anywhere near as much in that regard. So, look, tough out for the Spartans, but, you know, Northside Wizards, they've gone out over the off-season. They've kept some bits. They've not re-signed. They've kept some local talent, and they've really, you know, seemed to have opened the checkbook and re-signed some really strong quality pieces on top of that, and they look to be the team to beat. You know, it is only round 3, but looking at everything so far, they're going to be the team to beat on the women's side from what we've seen thus far.
No doubt about that. Yeah, 100% agree.
All righty, next game. Oh, now this was a game I had the pleasure of calling some of and sitting on the bench for the most of it. I was lucky enough to go along to the Cairns Capitals game up in the Early Settler Stadium up in Cairns. It was a fantastic road trip. Absolutely loved every second of it. And, Abby Cabello and Maya Lloyd really stepped out in this one for the Caps. Cairns kept to a really short roster. They only played 6 players. Shanice Swain was up and down whether she was going to be playing or not. Turns out when we got there, she was. It definitely made a different dynamic to the team. But by the time it was a bit back and forth early, but end of the third quarter, got into the fourth, and it was over. About 3 minutes into the fourth, it just had that feel as if the Caps had control by the end. It was a 21-point game in the end. But, strong performance from the Caps. But Cairns came out early, dominated the first quarter, and, really put the Caps back on their heels a bit.
Yeah, the Caps did it by committee, didn't they? All the starting five having double figures. And you're right, Mia Lloyd, 5 of 6 from 3. Whew, that's cooking.
Yeah, Maya can ball. She definitely can.
Yeah, and then a 28-point game from Abby Cabello. Like that's, and then, 10 for Anna Cameron, Bronte Cork, 4-13, Stephanie Collins, 14. Like, everyone was chipping in. So they did it by committee, and, man, nice game. That gets them 3 in a row, is it now, Mel? So,
yep.
Or, 3 in a row. So they're on a bit of a streak and, up the top of the table where they belong.
Yeah, so 2 in a row at this point, but, you know, slight spoilers, but all good. We'll get to that. Yeah, and I think Anna Cameron doesn't show up in the stat sheet, of course, but Anna Cameron had a crucial game on the defensive end. Was really able to shut down LJ inside, and gave Penina Davidson some difficulty inside as well. So really physical inside defensive play from her really helped, shut things down at times for the Cairns Dolphins in that one. Absolute cracker game. All right. moving right along to the next game, which, like I said, spoiler alert, Saturday's game started off with Capitals and the Flames. Now, this one was an absolute banger. This game was an absolute banger. It went back and forth, and it wasn't decided until that last minute. Capitals had just a scooch of a lead late, but Townsville were right there and were within an uncomfortable range. You know, it finished with Townsville Flames 76, Capitals 79. And, yeah, just a really strong performance. Steph Reid's first game back for Townsville, since obviously their WNBL performance for the other Townsville team, of course. But, yeah, look, strong back and forth game. Flipper floppoed. Townsville came out quarter one, won that one. Then Caps came back. Then Townsville came back. And then in the end, Capitals with a strong fourth quarter, able to do just enough to get it done and hold out a late charging team in the Townsville Flames. But Kate Gaze, really strong. She was able to light it up at times from range. India Bauer also didn't have a bad game. Her stroke looked absolutely gorgeous at times as well. So, yeah, tough game for Townsville because it was, they're still looking for their first win of the season, but Caps rolled into it and had an absolute banger performance.
When you do that road trip as well, to pick up both games, that's a great way to start the season. Get the back-to-back double on the road. That hopefully builds some confidence for the Caps moving forward.
Yeah, so from what I understand of it, it's the first time on the women's side of the draw where they've been able to go out and get both games on the north, the way, way up north trip, and come away with 2-0, which is they've split the games before, but they haven't come away with 2-0 before on the women's side. So great performance there from the Caps.
Yeah, yeah. And as a team as well, like I said, once again, it was by committee, and obviously they're gelled well and they're playing well. So it's good to see them get the results.
Indeed. All right. Moving on, Southwest Metro Pirates took on the Media 8 North Gold Coast Seahawks. And it was a tight one. Absolute tight one. 71 to the Metro Pirates, 72. Oh, 1-point win to the Seahawks. Look, Kennedy Hapawati, friend of the show for North Gold Coast Seahawks, 33 points, not to be almost just 2 points behind Leah Scott for the Pirates on 31 points there as well. Leah Scott really showing how she was at All-Star 5 down at the Nationals last year. Double-double in this one. But, just not enough to get it done for the Pirates in this one. Seahawks, too strong. With a really weird box score on this one because Seahawks came out in the first quarter, 27-15 point first quarter. Metro came back, worked a little bit of that back. Really tight third quarter. And then Pirates with a 15-6 fourth quarter. Fighting hard to get back into it, but just not able to do enough at the end.
Yeah, and once again, the first thing I always look at when I see these games is at the end, you look at the box score and you see what are the bench producing. Both sides, like minimal production from their benches, only six points off the bench from the bench squad for the North Gold Coast Seahawks, and I think it was only 5 points for Southwest Metro. So, it's obviously both starting fives play a lot of minutes and do the bulk of the scoring, but yeah, just not a lot of production off the bench. So they'll probably want to look at some of that moving forward, but made for a cracker of the game. And Southwest, obviously if the game goes another extra couple of minutes, they probably get the chocolates in the end, but North Gold Coast sneak away with a 1-point win.
Yeah, look, and if we look into the shot percentage, Metro Pirates got up 74 shots and only made 24, walking away with 32%. Seahawks, though, got up 55 from the field and were able to get 27 of those down, so 49%. So you look really interesting. Metro able to get more shots up, but Seahawks just made enough of them for it to count. And, yeah, Metro were not afraid to blaze away from three. They got up 20 shots from three, but only made three. So
that's 20 extra shots. That's a lot of extra possessions. So obviously rebounding a lot of their misses or, creating a lot of chances, but just not knocking it down.
Yeah, so, you know, look, tight one, tricky. But, Seahawks come away with the chockies on that one. All right, moving along, Sunshine Coast Phoenix got a W against the Spartans again. Spartans taking another L this round. 66 for the Sunshine Coast Phoenix and 60 for the Spartans. Now, Phoenix came into this season getting the wooden spoon last season. So, you know, they'll be very chuffed to get a W. It's been a while. It's been a while since the Phoenix women's team have been able to get a W, so they'll be absolutely chuffed with that. Obviously, Spartans team just, you know, having a difficult start to the season, let's say.
Can they get Maddie Allen some help? Man, she had another double-double, 24 and 11.
Yeah, with Holly seven assists.
Oh, no, yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
And Holly Smith chipping in 19, but other than that, there was not a lot else happening. So they got a bit of work to do to get a bit more involvement from it or a bit more production from everyone else. So yeah, Southern Districts, a bit heavily reliant on Maddie Allen, who's a class player. No wonder she's getting the points for him, but just needs a little bit of help out there.
Yeah, and look, this is the, you know, this is the situation Spartans sort of came into the season with, you know, Nadine Payne, their coach, Leah Scott, like so many members of that Spartans team that went to Nationals last year through the wild card, but still, you know, went to Nationals. No longer there. So even Lil Dart moved on to the Wizards as well. So look, they look to be in a real rebuild situation right now. So it'll be interesting to see how their season goes. But tough start, to say the least. All right, let's move along. Logan Thunder took down the Gold Coast Rollers, mate, 65-57. Logan Thunder just had this one wrapped up by the third quarter. Gold Coast, you know, came back a little bit in the fourth, you know, scoring 27 points to 14, but she was wrapped by that point. She was all over.
Yeah. Logan's got a strong team. They're a heavy, one of the heavy favorites. And they always put out a good team. I don't mind Gold Coast. A couple of their early performances were actually quite good. And not to spoiler alert, but the Gold Coast did bounce back the next day with a real solid win. But I like what they got there. They got a good mix, Gold Coast, of young and older players. So and some of their younger players are really starting to step up and take on some bigger roles now. But yeah, Logan just too savvy, too many good veterans. Some big outages from Ashley Taylor, 21 and 10. Rebounds, and Michaela Cayenne, 20 points, 9 rebounds, and then a 20 rebound game, from Giovanna Pavla. So, you know, always going to be hard to match up against that, but obviously, they were blown off the park pretty much, like you said, Mel, first three quarters, and made a fist of it in the last one, but could have been a lot worse than the, 8 points? Could have been a lot more than 8 points, but they did bring it back a little bit.
Yeah, definitely could have been way worse, as you say. All right, let's keep it moving. Salties took on Rockhampton Cyclones, and they got away with this one. Was it 83-74? You know, apart from that first quarter where the Rocky Cyclones really came out and stuck it to Darwin. Darwin then went on to win every other quarter, all the way down the line, convincingly, to really close this one out. 9-point win in the end, but still, it was done and dusted. Strong, another strong performance by Bowman. Triple double, 10, 11, and 10. Absolutely balling out. She has been this season. Really good to see. And excuse me. And you know, McSpad's a friend of the show, Lara McSpadden. We didn't not necessarily a huge game from her this time round. Was it only 14 and 8? Loda was 18, 4 and 4 with two steals on her end. But yeah. Hopefully McSpads can bounce back from this one, because she had quite a big game in that second round there.
Have you? It might just be me, Mel, but you noticing that a lot of these teams are running like only a real 6 or 7 person rotation.
Very short. Yep.
Yeah, I'm wondering why that is. You see that often happen when teams, you know. I mean, mid-season, late season, if they got a couple of injury runs, but usually early on in the season, you're getting a lot more people just to sort of feel things out. But it could be a part of the. I sort of tend to think it's maybe a part of the NBL 1 just being so competitive now that teams don't want to give up any chance of a win, so they're putting their best teams out there and trying to get every win, because it's so crucial to making the finals. But yeah, just see Rockhampton only played the 7 players, and their bench players only got a 4 and an 8 minute sort of stint. So, and hence they only had one point scored off the bench, which is you don't see that too often. But trying to keep their best players out there.
Yeah, whereas 18 points came from the Darwin bench. So
yeah,
you know, quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I have noticed that across a few teams, and not just from teams on the road either. Like, you know, normally it is a tendency at times in different places for some teams to be a little bit tighter on the road, because obviously they don't normally send as many. But, yeah, quite a bit of a tendency that's showing up earlier in the season. All right, last game. Or the Saturday was Red City Roar. They took on Rip City and came up short. Let's say that. 54 points to 72 for Rip City. Again, strong performances from Carly Smith with a 25-15 game. Fly was also quite good with 5 assists. Lily Ritano with 18 points, 7 rebounds, leading points and rebounds for Red City, and Cunningham with 7 rebounds for Red City as well. But yeah, look, another tough one. Apart from one second quarter, it was pretty solidly wrapped up here by Rip City, and they got off 72 shots from the field, and they made 39%. And Red City Roar, look, you know, they shot at a decent clip, 36% compared, but only got away 55 shots. So, you know, it's going to be trickier to get that done. But both teams did not shoot well from the free throw line. 50% off 22 for Rip City, and 60% off 15 for Red City Roar, which, again, if you're at home, practice your free throws, kids. Practice them free throws. Because they had
23 turnovers from the Red City Roar. Never going to be able to get the job done if you're giving the ball up that much. So, bit of work to do. But, they'll probably hopefully look to bounce back this week.
Yes, they will indeed. All righty, on to Sunday's games. So we had Ipswich taking on the Southwest Metro Pirates. And the Ipswich were not able to force the victory in this one, with Southwest Metro getting up 79 for the Force, 86 for the Pirates. Again, another strong Leah Scott performance, 35 points, 13 rebounds. Lulu Twadale got up with 7 assists. But how for the Force, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. And former Capital, Meg Essex, had a 20-point game in this one. So 20.5 rebounder. Again, Metro just had it covered for first 3 quarters, did all the heavy lifting, and then kept it close enough in the fourth and were able to close this one out as well.
Yeah, so it was a solid effort from Southwest Metro. They obviously, once again, point out they only ran with the 7 players and both bench players getting pretty minimal minutes. So their starting 5 really had to put in a solid effort to get over the line, but they escaped with a win. Get out of there by a 7-point margin and move on to the next week.
Indeed. Yeah, and look, similar amount of shots put up. Pirates just shot at a better clip. It was 70 shots were shot up from the field, shooting at 39% for the Force and 71 for all the Pirates, but shooting at a 45% clip across the field. So, and I actually shot the exact same free throw percentage. There you go, 74% from the line. Not bad. Not bad at all. And then we get down to our last game of the round. Gold Coast Rollers just getting it done against the Sunshine Coast Phoenix. 80 points to 79 in this one. And, Moira, 25 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Absolutely banger performance from that Gold Coast young lady.
Yeah, that's a hell of a performance. And another one down the bottom there, Jade Peacock. We saw her putting her skills together in the NBL 1 Blitz, and she was playing really well then and had herself a game in this one as well, 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. But just to point out, solid effort from the Sunshine Coast, Kendall Jeremiah. Had a 19-point game, 16 rebounds and 10 assists and 2 blocks. Thanks for asking. That's a hell of a game. Got that done in only 36 minutes. So in a losing squad, that's a great effort.
Yeah, and Gold Coast had to come back in that fourth quarter and did just enough to get 1 point over the line. Again, Gold Coast Rollers were able to get up 10 more shots than Phoenix. So, yeah, 10 extra shots and couldn't get it done. Tricky, similar, shot fairly similar in amounts from 3. But the free throw line where this one was basically won. Gold Coast Rollers with 19 fouls, Phoenix with 10. And, free throw line, really kept the Phoenix in this one. They went to the line 26 times in this one and shot at a clip of 73% from the line. So opportunities were there. Just a bit tricky. Gold Coast Rollers with an interesting shot chart, inside, mid-range, and out. Sunshine Coast, a lot more inside and around the block areas. And then some threes raining in on that as well. So, look, really interesting tight game, but Gold Coast able to get away with one here.
Yep, and difference in the bench points and the bench, because you only had basically one player from each bench getting any minutes. You had Jade Peacock having 16 points, and then on the Sunshine Coast bench, their main sub, Chloe Coughlin, had 15 minutes and only scored 3 points. So, probably a major difference there. We've got reason Gold Coast got the victory.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's have a look at the ladder. Since we're now up to round 3, we will just briefly discuss the ladder. Obviously, it means more and more with every round. We're not at a point yet where we can, say the teams at the bottom are their season's done or anything weird or wonderful like that. But the picture is starting to emerge. We've got Northside at the top, 4 wins. Darwin at the top as well with 3. 3 wins, zero losses. And then we've got the 3-1 crew. So we've got Gold Coast 3-1, Southwest Metro 3-1, Brizzy Caps 3-1. And then you've got 2-1 Rip City just behind there, Rocky the same, and 1-1 for Mackay. And then we get into your ones and twos and lowers, going all the way down to Townsville and Red City Raw still on a bagel to start the year. So hopefully they get some dubs shortly and, you know, can really start to turn their seasons around. But, yeah, look, you know, really interesting because the power rankings are out. And this is where the power rankings are. So the power rankings are sort of taken on everything the team does, field goals made, points, points per possession and different different things like that, attempts and all that sort of stuff is lobbed in together. So far in the power rankings, this is the way the teams are showing out. Wizards, Capitals, Thunder, Salties, Metro, Cairns, Townsville, Spartans, Gold Coast, Mackay, Seahawks, Rocky, Red City Roar, Sunshine Coast, Phoenix, Ipswich Force. So interesting.
No surprise that Northside Wizards are on top there in both of those, the power rankings, and also just leading the ladder. They've shown that they're probably the team to beat in the early stages. But like you said, Mal, the ladder, I mean, really, at this point, it's not the end of the season if you have a loss. But it's nice to have the teams to be on the top end of the ladder and know that they're playing well coming into round four. But the teams on the bottom, they can't probably leave it for too much longer. They've got to start making some moves, start putting some wins together, or you can be pretty quickly out of the race to make a final spot.
Oh, yeah. You want to get your heavy lifting done. You want to get through your veggies early so you can get to your dessert at the end of the season.
Exactly.
For sure. All right, let's jump over to the men's side of the draw. Spartans came up just a scoot short, 85-87, with the Northside Wizards taking away the chocolates. Again, another game that went backwards and forwards quarter-wise. It wasn't anyone's early or anything like that. Both teams stuck in this thing across the whole journey. Southern Districts just painfully close in this one. Painfully close. But Northside, very strong. Healy, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 0 blocks. Come on. What's going on here, Healy? Seriously. But to be honest, though, there was only one block for the Wizards, and it came from the bench. So, yeah. But really strong performance there to get the W for the Wizards. And, yeah, look, just one of those uncomfortable ones if you're Southern Districts. Gak had himself an excellent game for Southern Districts, 32, 12, 1-1, and then 3 blocks, filling up every positive category. Sapwell as well, 25, 3, 3, and 6. Look, strong performances, certainly not bad performances from either team in that sense, but just came up short.
Yep, strong Northside Wizards. Both their men and women are both very strong teams. They got some very good players there. And no, am I wrong, Mal? Is DJ Mitchell, he's no longer playing for Northside, or he's signed somewhere maybe overseas? I think I read that. But he was meant to be one of the early signings, and even without him, they're putting some wins together and playing really well. So they're a strong team regardless. But geez, the Southern Districts, they went close. Going into the fourth quarter, there was no differences. It was tied up nearly at one point, I think, to the Wizards ahead, and then just get done in the last. So heartbreak, but good signs. Put a strong performance against a strong team in the Northside Wizards. So hopefully that'll help with a bit of confidence moving forward.
Yeah, look, and, you know, some strong defense or some sloppy O, depending on how you want to look at it. Spartans had 16 turnovers. Northside Wizards had 21 in this one. It's the only sort of major category that really jumps out. All the rest are pretty square, as you can imagine, of a game of this type. So, yeah, tough one for the losing team. They always are. But Wizards came away with the chockies from this one. All right, Cairns Marlins took on the Brisbane Capitals. Again, another one I was there for. Who'd we have? Yeah, Duffelmeyer had himself a game. Just caught fire at different points. 36, 10, 3, 2. Two steals. Again, no blocks, but you know, he doesn't fight in where the big boys are. He's a very solid guard and got his team over the line in the end. This one definitely felt like the Capitals, you know, at times, they had them covered. But the Capitals at one point had a monster lead in this one. But it just, you know, Cairns were just able to get it done in that third quarter and really dragged it back from, was it about halfway through the second? Cairns really turned it on, got on a run, took that into halftime, kept that going through the third, and then just did enough in the fourth. And even with a double technical ejection, Cairns Marlins were able to close it out. And at the end, it was an interesting game, back and forth. Again, great one to jump on the call with the Cairns commentary guru. Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. But yeah, tough game for a Caps fan, and yeah. Still going 0-3 at this point of the Brisbane Caps.
Yeah, interesting game. And if we get back to that, watching the game from home, in that fourth quarter when Jonah Antonio got the two tees, you almost thought like that was going to be the defining moment and the Caps were going to come over the top of it. But it got very close, but they just didn't quite get over it. Cairns had, I think they got a steal and then maybe a little runaway layup, and it just sort of kept them just at sort of arm's length, and it just didn't quite happen. But the one noticeable thing, I was just watching the game, Caps missed a lot of free throws. It was obviously hard getting down there, doing the road trip, and but I think looking at the stats here, they were 50%. So I think that might have even brought it back, because the first half, there was a lot of free throws left up there, but brought it back to at least 50%. But yeah, it just unfortunate. You felt the swing when the two techs happened. You thought the Caps were coming home, but Cairns are just too strong. And man, tip of the hat to Tad Duffelmeyer. That was a hell of a game. He was letting some fly from 2 feet back, from almost the logo. Guys in his face stepping back from them. It was had a bit of James Harden about him when he was getting those 3 points up now. How did they look live?
It's one of those tricky things. Live, if you saw a junior player shoot some of those shots, you know, you'd be like, get over here, young fella. We need to have a chat. I'm subbing you out, especially if they miss. But
yeah,
like he was off balance, falling away at 45 degree style angles and getting them up. And once they left his hand, they never looked like missing. But yeah, you know, the form and everything to it, you'd be like, oh my God, come here, young man. But you know, you can't argue with the results. And there was times when, like you said, it was quite good defense played right in front of his face. It didn't matter.
Yeah, so, and the old coach in the putting his hands in his head just when those shots go up, but then putting his hands up in the air celebrating when they go down. So, seen those before. he was his night. He knocked them down. So, yeah, once again, unlucky Caps, but. Yeah, should hopefully can bounce back coming up this weekend with a win.
Yeah, look, and to be honest, there was definitely times in the game where I thought Cap's shot selection was just not what it could have been. Not what it could have been. You know, there were times where, you know, players dribbling into double and triple defending and trying to get something up. Whereas obviously if you're in that situation, there's someone open, sometimes two. But, yeah, not their night. And Marlins came away with that one. Alrighty, moving along to the Saturday game. Red City Roar took on Rip City. Sorry, still on Friday night game. Red City got sorted out by the Rip City in this one. It, 32-point W to Rip City. And look, Red City Roar, they were in this one till halftime. But it's just one of those classic sort of situations where you'll see a team stick with someone to halftime, and then over the break, you can just see that one of the teams just runs out of gas, or sometimes it's talent as well, and they just can't stick through three quarters. And that third quarter is always the money quarter when high-powered teams can really come out and really show what they can do and really stretch you out, and especially a team like Rip City, who certainly do not play bad defense, and they can light it up. And that is exactly what they did across the third and the fourth quarter here for Rip City.
Yep. And then you look at their Rip City bench. They got some really, really good talent on just sitting on their bench. So it was always going to be hard going for Red City, but they're probably lucky they had one of their starters get 18 points and 12 rebounds. That was Jalen Key. And then a guy, Mitchell Poulin off the bench, he had 21 points, but really other than that, there's not a lot to speak of. A lot of misses in the field goals attempted, but not field goals made column. So, rough old second half for the Red City Roar. Rip City, though, strong team, and moving forward, they're going to be they're a contender. They've got to be probably touted as a good finals chance moving forward.
Yeah, well, especially when they're adding Kawhi Noi, just yet to come back. So
he's coming back again, is he?
He is touted to come back. I've been told by many allegedly solid sources.
Yeah, that's a great, it's even stronger then.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you've got Brandon Wood stepping up and having really good games like he did in this one. 22, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals and a block. And then backed it up with a good second game on top of that one as well. So, yeah, look, solid. They have the feeling of a team that's going to be at the pointy end of the season. They've got some new, obviously they've kept coach from last year, Nathan Arezzi, and kept a lot of key pieces and added a couple of new ones as well. So look, they want to go one game higher than they did last season, and look, early doors, it's not looking too bad. Not looking too bad for them at all. Next game, we've got Townsville Heat and the Brizzy Capitals. Look, this one was tight and close with about 2 minutes to go. I think Caps were down by 3. And then Townsville Heat just stepped up. I got this thing done. And, again, there was times when there's not great shot selection being made by the Caps. And, but they did a really good job of sticking close enough. They were within range at the pointy end of the game, and they were able to do that consistently. Like that, they were just on the cusp. Never let them get too far away from them, and that's a good sign for the future of the team. Obviously, they didn't get the win in this one. Still on the bagel, but 0-4 now. But certainly not a bad sign that they were able to stay within that range, especially after. After Lockie Dent went down in that Cairns game late and didn't play in this one. So, without him and Stoddy, a little bit tougher, a little bit harder in that guard spot, but they were able to find find a way to, as I say, you know, stick close-ish.
Yep, absolutely. Once again, just close, but just not quite getting the chocolates. Free throw percentage again, 50%. So leaving a few points out there from the line. But still was in it up to their eyeballs. It's just I guess the tough thing to when you look at these games is you go, well, there was a standout player from Townsville in Marcellus Garrick. Oh, yes. And there was also one for Cairns. And when guys just have a night like that, when it comes to the fourth quarter and they're knocking down those tough shots, even when you're keeping it close, if you've got no one that's, you know, really firing at the same level as them, it's really hard to just get over the hump. And that's kind of what the Cats found in the first and this game, is that they got there, they were right there, but no one was really firing at 100%, you know, knocking down some really tough shots like the Townsville's player Marcellus Garrick and Duffelmeyer from Cairns were. So it was close, but they just couldn't match them in the final quarter, and unfortunately just went down. So unfortunate, but still strong game. And like you said, tough to do without Lockie Dent as well.
Yeah, and injuries are always a tough, especially on the road, makes things tougher. But yeah, to lose Stoddy and Lockie in the first three rounds, tough. Certainly not. Neither of them are gone for the season, just tough. Just tough to start the season.
Any inside word on those guys for the Friday game, Mel?
Nothing I can air publicly as yet.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but look, from what I'm hearing, they'll both be back at some point. But haven't been given the green light to share when and where that will be. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Wait and see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Metro. Metro, well, they got done by the media 8, North Gold Coast Seahawks in this one, 75-57, another tight game. There's been a lot of them across this round, but Pirates unable to get it done. Another one back and forth over a few quarters. You know, Seahawks, good solid start. Metro brought it back, but Seahawks finished strong in that fourth quarter to really get this one done.
Yeah, and once again, a little bit of a tale of just teams just keeping it together going into the fourth with some strong starts. So, North Gold Coast came out on fire, got their lead up and was coasting a little bit till the third quarter when Southwest brought it back, but just put it together in the last again. So, bookend quarters by North Gold Coast just putting up some points and dominating, got them over the line, but probably closer than it should have been. North Gold Coast probably went asleep there in the middle, second and third quarters. But, strong performance across the board. Once again, North Gold Coast just running with a real solid starting five, only 3 points off the bench for them, but a little bit more productive for Southwest Metro, and then using a few extra players as well. They've got some veterans there in that Southwest Metro, just looking through. They've got Zach Carter and Thomas Amar and a couple of savvy vets there, so they're pitching in off the bench. But unlucky.
Indeed. And, free throw line. Seahawks won... shot 69% from the free throw line, 18 of 26, and Pirates only shot 10 of 8, 56%. So, there's enough right there to have, you know, got it done. But it's a 2-point game. Could easily say that from, you know, one more from the field or one more from three and or a couple more from the free throw line, and you know, this one's a very different game. But, Yeah.
If you look at that Southwest Metro starting five, you've got Brendan Tays, Chris Cedar, and Lamar Patterson. So, like, they could light up in any game and give you six, you know, give you 20, 20, 30 points each. Like, they're that those type of vets that can just really light it up from deep. So hopefully it didn't happen in this game, but hopefully some point in the season we can see them put a strong game together, because it could be a wild one.
Yeah, and Lamar is just, he's one of those guys who's, you know, got that bigger body and is almost unstoppable when he makes that aggressive decision to go inside. Like, it takes a double or triple team at this level to really shut him down. So
he's a flat out scorer. Yeah. I mean, he's probably out, he's been out of shape when he's playing at Gold Coast, but still dominating. When he wants to score, he can score. So he's a pretty amazing player, just still getting around. And he'll had 19 points in that game. He'll have a 30 or 40 point game during the season pretty easily.
Indeed. I agree with that. All right. Sunshine Coast Phoenix lost this one. 18-point loss to the Spartans. Boys were able to get this one done. Sapwell with 23 points. Gack, 12 rebounds for the Spartans. Strong performances overall, obviously, when it's almost a 20-point win. By the Southern Districts, but double-double for Gack. Just Sunshine Coast Phoenix just came up short in this one. It was tight-ish at halftime, but again, you know, just got rolled, stretched out across both third and fourth quarter, and she was done after that, obviously.
Yeah. Good performance by Southern Districts. Good to see Jake Allen off the bench. He's a Gold Coast boy. Had a nice game, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Just got there, you know. Sunshine Coast probably finding it a little bit hard going in these first couple of rounds, but Spartans, they seem to put this game together and got the performance they're after. They've probably missed on the last couple as well, but been able to put it together on this one and jag a pretty crucial win to get the season going.
All right, moving along. Logan Thunder were able to get it done against the Gold Coast Rollers in Todd Blanchfield's first game for them. He debuted for them. Had himself not a bad game either, too, Blanchy. He had 22, 10, 7, 0 steals, but 1 block in there as well. Kadee with 21, 4, and 8, and 3. But, yeah, unable to get it done were the Gold Coast Rollers. Logan Thunder probably felt pretty good about this one. It was the quarterfinal rematch from last year, which Logan had in their hands. Going into that last, minute, 45 seconds. And, ended up just effectively handing the ball back to the Rollers. And Tanner Krebs knocked down big shots late. And, Gold Coast were able to knock them out in the end. But, Logan were able to turn this one around and they'll walk away with the early season victory on their first matchup.
Yeah, and strong guard lineup for Logan with Rasmus Batch, Sean Bruce, and Boston Maslin. They're going to be hard to handle for any team. Throw in there, you got Mitch Young, the veteran big man. So, and Majok Dang as well. So, man, it's a strong, strong Logan team. I think Gold Coast did pretty well to hang with them here. Obviously, Todd Blanchfield's first game, he comes out and he gives 22. So you got to be happy. You got to be happy with that. And that Todd Blanchfield, that guy's a microwave. We had that game recently when the Boomers were playing in the in the NBL. They had World Cup qualifiers, Mel.
Yep. Down in Melbourne.
So yeah, and he had like 8 or 9 3-pointers through the first half or something. Like, he can just flat out shoot. So in the NBL one, stepping back from playing in the NBL, He's going to get his opportunities, and yeah, I can't wait to see him torch some teams. Because yeah, like I said, the dude's a microwave. You just press instant cook, and he's on fire. So yeah, and throwing that, you've got Jason Kadee, two guys that's going to space the floor. So unlike the Gold Coast there, but they've got probably good things coming. But Logan, yeah, very strong team. Gonna cause a bit of trouble trying to match up against their guard lineup.
Yeah, Darwin Salters is their next game. They took on the Rockhampton Rockets, and they got a 20-point W, 115-95. Strong performance from the Salties. Rockets came out strong in the first quarter, but Salties just got it done in every quarter after that. Yeah, laying on an extra 13 points on the Rockets to finish out the fourth. Strong performances almost all the way around, but you had double-doubles from Riak. Malawatch had 28, 5, and 7. Friend of the show, Jerron Jameson, 29 and 6. And then off the bench, not a whole lot of points. Oh, actually, let me try that again. A whole lot of points off the bench. Would we have 33 points off the bench, with Eukster chipping in 2, Spires with 10, and Deborah George with 21, 7, and 4 coming in off the bench. Strong performance. And bouncing back well from, well, when they lost to Cairns, just a two weeks before in the previous round.
Yeah, Rockhampton doing it tough on the bottom of the ladder. Went to Darwin looking to, it's always going to be hard. Darwin's doing quite well. I think they've strung a couple of nice victories together, and Rockets unfortunately couldn't pick up a win here. Pretty close, kept it close enough anyway, but blown out in the fourth quarter. So, doing it tough, searching for a win. Never know, maybe this weekend.
Maybe. All right, moving over to Ipswich taking on the Southwest Metro Pirates, and another uncomfortable 2-point loss for the Pirates, 91-89. This one, another back and forth style game. Big quarters at different times from both teams. But yeah, again, Metro just unable to get this one done. Going up against the experience of Sobey, who had 27, 3, 3, 1, and 1. And Dang, 20 and 13. 3-1-1 in there as well. Strong performance from Ipswich's bench there with 20 plus points coming from it, and obviously a lot coming from their starters as well. But yeah, another uncomfortable loss there for Metro Pirates. Got a feel for them. 2 games in the round and 2 2-point losses. So they, in total, they've lost both games by 4 points. Doesn't get much tighter than that. Unfortunate for them, but great news for the Switch, who had Chris Anstey in the house, I believe, taking some photos and signing some pictures for this one.
Oh, nice. That'd have been nice to see, get a photo with him. Ipswich got some guns there. Sobey, Jalen Galloway, Dang, and still Harrison Froling to come back if he's all injury, all healed up. So Ipswich looks strong. Southwest nearly pinched one on them. Three that I talked about before, Brendan Taze, Chris Cedar, and Lamar Patterson all came out and had some strong games. So hopefully if they can continue to build, and might see them jag those, because they're two wins they could have had there. You're right, it's a brutal weekend for them, if dropping just by 4 points, two losses by 2 points each. Tough, but hopefully can bounce back.
All righty, last game of the round was a 100-point win to the Gold Coast Rollers, 71-point, Gold Coast Rollers with 100 points, Sunshine Coast Phoenix, 29 points back with 71. Again, strong performances from Blanchfield and Kadee. Kadee had himself a 33, 7 rebound, 9 assist game. And Blanchfield, again, double-double. Two games, two double-doubles, and added in some extra stuff as well. So, obviously, looking like a very good signing from a Rollers point of view. And, yeah, really solid start from him.
Yep, and Gold Coast, they're going to need that. They're Jason Kennedy and Todd Blanchfield are going to have to give them that each week if they're going to be a chance of winning. The rest of the squad is pretty young. And I don't have any inside word, but unless they can jag another import from somewhere, that's what the Gold Coast will be running with, and they're going to need that from Kadee and Blanchfield. So that's what they can do. They can both fill it up. So they're going to be a tough matchup, and poor old Sunshine Coast copped it in this game. So sometimes that just happens when you've got two superstars.
Indeed it does. All right. Well, quick look at the ladder. Nothing too deep divey. Obviously, Switch are undefeated. So technically are Mackay. Then we get into the 3-1 teams, which are Townsville and Northside. Then we get into the 2-1 teams, which are Darwin, Rip City, Logan, North Gold Coast, Cairns. Then the 2-2s, and then we end up with Southwest Metro, Brisbane Capitals, and Rockhampton, all sitting on bagels. So they're all at the bottom of the ladder to start the season. But things will obviously turn around. But how we also had our the official NBL One North players of the week were Maya Lloyd and Jason Kadee. Congratulations to both players. Obviously, both players had gun performances across both of their games over the third round. Hence, why they'll come away with the chocolates and the gift cards and the different things that you get. Footlocker voucher, I believe, is the current prize. So, congratulations to both players there. But mate, that's going to wrap us up for our Coles Express NBL One North Round 3 wrap up.
Beautiful.
And that'll bring our second show of the week to an end as well. Mate, thanks again for jumping on board. Always appreciate it.
Not a problem, mate. Some great basketball over the weekend, and hopefully this weekend's just as entertaining. I'm sure it will be.
I'm sure it will. Start, of course, the Anzac round this weekend, starting on Friday night. And, solid games. Don't forget, 6 o'clock start for the Capitals taking on Mackay in the women's, and then 8 o'clock start for the men's. Obviously, you and I will be there doing the call, but jump if you can't make it out to the game, do jump on the NBL One app or the NBL One website and follow the links to the stream. But, mate, that's going to wrap us up. So if you are out there on listening, please do jump on the socials, give us those likes and shares and different things. And we are trying to put out some different reminders around different games and things and some other stuff there. So we are really trying to do some things out there. So if you can help with that, that'd be great. If you are on a streaming service that does allow 5-star reviews, that stuff really does help. So please go ahead and write us a nice, strong review on that front. Of course, click those follow buttons on all of those streaming services as well. But until you're listening to us here again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.